Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. Today we're going to be dealing with chapter number 8, which will be dealing with questionable practices. Upon completion of this lesson, you're going to be able to write the key verse from memory. Explain what is meant by the term questionable practices. Give scriptural guidelines for decision-making on questionable practices. Distinguish between a weaker brother and a stronger brother. Give scriptural guidelines for dealing with a weaker brother. Give scriptural guidelines for handling disagreements between believers. And finally, we're going to give scriptural guidelines for resolving offenses between believers. Our key verse is found in 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." So as an introduction, this chapter concerns decision-making about questionable practices. The term is defined in discussion, includes guidelines for dealing with questionable practices, dealing with weaker brethren, handling disagreements between believers, and resolving offenses. Questionable practices. In every culture, there are certain practices which are questionable. These are practices which are not specifically mentioned in Scripture as being either wrong or right for the follower of Jesus. And you can easily think of such practices in your own culture. They might include activities of leisure or entertainment. They may be clubs or organizations to which you could choose to belong. These practices include certain habits and choices of what you eat or drink. They may be questions on which days to worship or holy days. How do you determine the will of God regarding questionable practices and when specific guidance on such matters is not given in the Bible? You want to ask yourself these questions. First off, does it glorify God? Perhaps the most important principle by which to judge a questionable practice is just to ask the question, does it glorify God? The Bible indicates that all you do should glorify the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. In Colossians 3:17, it says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And in Colossians 3:23-24, it says, and whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Another question is, what is your motivation? Why do you want to engage in this practice? What is your reason for or motive for doing it? And even a good activity can be done with a wrong motive. For example, James gives an illustration of a wrong motive for prayer. In James 4:3, he says, ye ask and ye receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. So praying is certainly not wrong, but the motives for some requests are improper. The motivation described in this verse is the wish to fulfill lustful desires. Another question would be, is it necessary? Paul states that while some things may be considered lawful, not in violation of God's written word, but you should consider whether they're really necessary. He states this in 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. Another question would be, will it promote spiritual growth? Many activities can hinder spiritual growth. Other activities can become so time-consuming that they choke out spiritual growth. Now we find that in Mark 4:18-19, and it says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And we find in Luke 8:14, it says, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to perfection. So ask yourself, will this activity hinder or promote my spiritual development? Activities that hinder spiritual development become weights which interfere with the spiritual race that God has set before you. And Hebrews 12:1 tells us that. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also are encompassed about such a great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Another question would be, is it an enslaving habit? When considering a questionable practice, ask yourself, will this practice enslave me to a habit? An enslaving habit is one which controls you. You feel you cannot get along without it, and you have difficulty giving it up. Paul comments regarding enslaving habits in 1 Corinthians 6:12. It says, all things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So any activity which is enslaving physically, mentally, spiritually, or habitually demands valuable time that should be avoided. Another question would be, is it a compromise? So Paul asks us in 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, what communication hath light with darkness? Will the questionable practice you are considering be a spiritual compromise? Will you be engaging in activities of the world or accepting its standards by doing this thing? The Bible commands in 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Another question would be, will it lead to temptation? Jesus taught us to pray, and he said, lead us not into temptation. So it is useless to pray this prayer and then by means of a questionable activity deliberately place yourself into a place of temptation. The Bible warns us in James 1:13-15, it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So, temptation is different from a trial of faith. A trial of faith occurs when a believer faces a difficult situation through no fault of their own. The situation tries his faith in God, and God permits trials to strengthen your faith and bring spiritual maturity. But God does not tempt man. Temptation is the desire to do wrong. Temptation comes when you do not control your thoughts and actions properly, or when Satan entices you to do evil. Some questionable practices may put you in a situation of temptation. And if you yield to the temptation, lust results in sin, and sin results in spiritual death. Another question would be, does it give us the appearance of evil? Does the practice you're considering give an appearance of evil to others? The Bible commands us in 1 Thessalonians 5:22 to abstain from all appearance of evil. So, does it violate your conscience? Now, when making a decision regarding questionable practices, you should be fully persuaded the choice you make is right. In New Testament times, believers disagreed over whether or not it was right to eat meat, since meat had been used for sacrifices under the Old Testament law. These sacrifices were used as an atonement for man's sin before Jesus gave his life as the final and complete sacrifice for sin. Because this meat was used for sacrifices, there were laws against eating certain meats. Paul wrote regarding this question in Romans 14:23. It says, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not in faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So the principle is that you must be fully persuaded in questionable matters that what you are doing is right. If you have doubts, then it becomes sin for you to engage in such practices. Another question would be, how will it affect others? So this leads to the final guidelines in regards to questionable practices. How will engaging in this activity affect others? Will it edify others? To edify means to instruct, to build up, to improve spiritually. The Bible states in Romans 14:19, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." So does this activity contribute in a positive way to spiritual development of others? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10:23, "All things are not lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." So some practices in which you may engage may cause other believers to be hindered in their spiritual walk. Again, speaking on the question of eating meat, Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 8:13. He says, "Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." So Paul did not consider it wrong to eat meat, but he would not eat it if it hindered a weaker brother in the Lord. A weaker brother is a brother who, because of weakness of faith, knowledge, or conscience, can be affected by the example of a stronger brother. He could be influenced to sin against his conscience, and his spiritual progress can be hindered. A stronger believer is one who, because of his understanding of freedom in certain areas and the strength of his conviction, exercises liberty with good conscience. He is not influenced by the differing opinions of others. So any action by a stronger brother, which ordinarily would be permissible, is wrong if it influences a weaker brother to sin against his conscience or hinders his spiritual progress. Paul wrote this in Romans 14:21. "It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby the brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak." Summary. So in a summary, decision-making on questionable practices. If you look in your book, you'll see you have a chart, and the following chart summarizes the biblical guidelines for decision-making on questionable practices. So on the left, you have the questions, and on the right, you have the scripture verses to look up. So the first one, does it glorify God? What is your motivation? Is it necessary? Will it promote spiritual growth? Is it an enslaving habit? Is it a compromise? Will it lead to temptation? Does it give the appearance of evil? Does it violate your conscience? And how will it affect others? So these are the questions that you might ask yourself. And again, on the right-hand side, you're going to see the verses that relate to those. When believers differ. If you study Romans 14, 1 verse 1 through 15 verse 2, these verses reveal believers will sometimes have differences in opinion, and such differences often arise over questionable practices that are not specifically dealt with in God's word as being either right or wrong. So this passage explains that such differences will not result in harm if we love one another and continue to search the scriptures. Romans 14 gives the following guidelines for dealing with disagreements between believers in matters that are not specifically covered in the written word. Distinguish between matters of command and freedom. Romans 14:14 indicates that when believers differ in what is important to distinguish between matters of command and freedom, or concerning matters of freedom not specifically dealt with in God's word, Paul writes this, and that's found in Romans 14:14. He says, "I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean." So in matters of command recorded in the written word of God, we should all conform to the same pattern in other matters of freedom of choice may be exercised. Cultivate your own convictions. You must cultivate your own convictions regarding questionable practices. In regard to observing holy days, Paul wrote this in Romans 14:5, "One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." So use the guidelines given in the previous section of this chapter to help you determine your own convictions on questionable matters. Allow others freedom to determine their convictions. Even if it differs from you, allow them freedom to determine their own convictions on questionable matters. Romans 14:10 and 13 says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? or why doth thou set a knot thy brother? Let us not therefore judge one another any more. Limit liberty by love. The basic message of Romans 14, chapter 14, 13, and 15 through the second verse, is that Christian liberty should be limited by love. Romans 15, 2 says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. So you should take care of other believers so much that you limit your own behavior by love for them. You should love them so much that you do not do anything that would cause them to stumble spiritually. In Romans 14, 13, it says, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Resolve all offenses. When a brother has been offended by another believer, Matthew 18, 15 through 17 provides a biblical formula for resolving such matters. We find that it's in Matthew 18, 15 through 17. It says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, take thee with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be as unclean and as a heathen man and a publican. So the steps to follow when a brother has offended you are this. First off, you're supposed to go privately to resolve the matter. Do not talk about the offense to others. Go directly to the one who offended you and try to resolve the matter. Pray and search God's written word together. Two, if he will not listen to you, take one or two witnesses and try again. The witnesses should be impartial believers. Elders or leaders in the church would be a good choice. Take the witnesses and go to your brother again. Attempt to discuss, pray, and search the scriptures regarding the problem. And three, take the matter before the entire church body. If after going to the brother with a witness and he still refuses to resolve the matter, take the issue before the entire church body. This should be done at the proper time and should not be done during a regular worship service or when unbelievers are present. After the hearing of the matter, the decision of the church should be abided by. The problem should be resolved, and if not, then the offending party is acting like a heathen and unbelievers. Summary: when believers differ. The following chart summarizes scriptural guidelines to follow when believers differ in regards to questionable practices. So first off, you have when believers differ, Romans 14, 15, verse 2, and Matthew 18, 15 through 17. It says, distinguish between matters of command and freedom. Cultivate your own convictions. Allow others freedom to determine their own convictions. Limit liberty by love and resolve all offenses. So that's it for this lesson. Go ahead and do your chapter self-test and join me in the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.